What's up, EuroLeague family? Welcome to EuroLeague and Friends Season 2. And I'm here in Barcelona in EuroLeague studio with my co-host! We have so many things to talk about. We're going to dive into the culture, the basketball, because it's the best league in the world.
Yeah, of course it is.
Everything is surprising. Everything is exciting. And I'm so glad that I'm here with Alexander Radiov.
We practiced this, Denis. Radivojevic.
Thank you. Nice to meet you.
Other surnames. I don't know why. Radivojevic.
Yes.
I'm going to pronounce very, very correctly. Vasiliki Karamuza.
Yes, that's perfect. You nailed it. You're half Greek now.
And how about me?
Giulia Cicchine.
You're right.
Cicchine.
You can call her Taylor Swift as well.
Yes. Can you see me?
Giulia.
I'm in my life of a showgirl era.
Amazing.
How
did you make that happen? Like, what made you to do this amazing look that you have?
You know, my life changed a bit. So I decided, you know, to skip my life as a journalist and become a showgirl.
Oh, okay. Whoa. All right. Oh. Every game matters.
Yes.
Every game matters. But first of all, I'm so glad and I'm thrilled for this new season. It's upcoming season. Not upcoming. It's already started. Yeah. But I mean, for me, it's always a pleasure to have this feeling. Like every day when I wake up, when there's a EuroLeague game, I feel different. I'm like, okay, another game, another game.
Yeah.
And now 20 teams, girls.
Yeah. And it started with a double round.
Okay. Tell me, how do you feel about it?
Exciting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I am. I really am. It was like, okay, it's just Tuesday and we have to start. It's not like the normal week in EuroLeague, but it's so cool to start on Tuesday. For me, I started with Real Madrid. So right. It was like, wow, yeah. Finding them. It's, you know, okay, let's settle down. We can do it this year because we have to settle. We can do it. There are a lot of teams, a lot of games, but
right.
I think that we all ready.
Yeah, and some new arenas. That was interesting to see, right?
I mean,
someone has a scoop from the new arenas.
Are you talking about me?
Oh, yeah.
Actually, I didn't have a concert there yet.
Yet.
Okay,
yes.
Taylor.
But yes, okay. Yet. But yes, I've been in Valencia.
Yeah.
Well, I can tell also from your looks. Okay.
Hola. Yes, I've been there and the Rojic Arena is something unbelievable. Actually, I've been in Belgrade. I don't know about the Turkish one or the Greek one and you're going to tell me, but it's something unbelievable. I've never experienced something like that in Italy and I'm sorry to saying that.
Well, be careful. Last year, you remember, girls? By the way, I have to mention this, Giulia, about you, that it made me laugh so much last year. I was talking about Ettore Messina. And I'm saying, you know, are you happy with Ettore Messina?
Are you talking about arenas, not coaches?
No.
We were talking about the arenas.
Yeah, let's get back to that.
You see what I'm dealing with? You see what I'm dealing with? You know, I'm trying to get into her nerves with the Ettore Messina topic, but she's giving me the look. No. Cameron, show her a look.
Denise, it's just the beginning of the season. Let me talk about the arenas. Then, after a few episodes, we're going to talk about the coaches, the players.
Well, I'm definitely talking about it.
I know, but... Oh, sorry for interrupting, but I saw people eating paella, having fun, having a chit chat on the stands, and watching the game in Valencia in new arena. Is it possible? Is it true?
Is it true?
It is.
It happened.
You did eat paella, right?
Yes, I did. I told you it was amazing because it's something that I think that no one ever experienced in Europe because you can go there, eat paella or whatever you want, go sit and watch the game. And I talked to people from Bologna. They were there, obviously, because I was there for the game between Virtus Bologna and Valencia. And some of the fans were upstairs, I think, in the third circle of the arena. I don't know if it's the second or the third, but they were so much upstairs. And they were like, it doesn't matter where we are. Yeah. And If you can see the players like they were there. I was on the court. They were just upstairs and it was like, you can see well whatever you are. And that's a cool part of the arena. Yeah. And imagine if you are on the first lap, on the first round of the first level of the arena, you're there, you eat paella, you do whatever you want and you can enjoy the game. It's like, you know, watching and tasting. And it's like, yes.
That I have to say something.
An idea, sorry. Can I just give an idea?
Oh, God.
Oh, Dio. Oh my God.
Can I? Okay, I have a request. I'm asking this to all the EuroLeague people. I want to go.
Wait, why are you starting with me?
No, of course. I want to go to a Valencia game against Olimpia Milano. You and me in the first row, and we watch the game.
Okay. We can do it. Right. We have to speak about many topics rather than paella.
Of course we will. We will have our microphone. Yeah.
Oh,
and it's going to be mic'd up. Julia mic'd up during that.
But why me?
There's the idea for the EuroLeague production.
Yeah.
That's out of nowhere.
Of EuroLeague of yourself?
No. I will enjoy it for sure.
Okay.
But what I wanted to say about the arenas and that kind of experience, it's funny to me because obviously I'm Serbian. So don't get mad at me. Don't judge me. Let's play that challenge. We listen and we don't judge, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But that kind of a spirit, we are just having fun and watching basketball and eating paella or cevapi in Serbia, probably. Mm-hmm. That's not going to happen in Serbia, like, ever. Like,
probably.
Because when it's a game day, it's nothing but basketball. You just organize yourself and the whole your day by basketball game, you know.
Right.
You're not calling your friends or your family. You're not going to try to have a family gathering during the game on the stands and mm-hmm. eating and, you know, drinking a lot. It's only basketball. And I guess you girls experienced that in Belgrade Arena, right?
Yes.
So I love the difference between those two cultures, I would say, watching and watching basketball and understanding the basketball. But also what I saw in Barcelona or probably in Valencia too, but in every Europe country, it's that people are engaging to the game and people want to be the part of the game. They are showing to the referees what they should call or something like that. So that's the same. But the spirit on the stands is totally different. I don't know if Vasiliki can imagine something like that, eating food on the stands in Oaxaca or...
We're in the middle of the situation right now. There are people who can do that, like families going, like eating burgers or popcorns and stuff like that. And they're a part of hardcore fans that are still cheering for the team through the 40 minutes. So it's what makes EuroLeague unique.
Yep.
All these differences.
And what makes EuroLeague unique is its MVPs, girl.
Yes. Ooh.
I'm seeing non-jersey behind you, but we need also another jersey from Greece, Vezenko.
Yes, we do.
Girls, what do you think about this season's MVP race? How it's going to look like?
Vasiliki, go first.
I have to say, I think these two will battle neck to neck until the very last minute of the regular season like they did last year.
Really? That's the only two? Do you think those are the only two MVP candidates?
At the top of my head, I can think of someone that can be so impactful for his team and also be at the top of the standings, because Fener has a very wide roster. So
I have someone.
Who?
It's a secret. I call him secret. How you?
Secret weapon.
No, not weapon. The
what?
Superhero. Oh.
Superhero.
Secret superhero. That's the right word. Devin Hall.
MVP caliber?
I think so.
First team numbers, yes. But MVP?
I think so. I mean, we have to see. Have you seen him and Tucker playing together?
Yes.
So, we have to wait.
I thought you would say Horton Tucker.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
I say it's rookie season. Yeah.
But, you know, no one knows. So, we have to see.
What about DJ Shorts?
He won't have the same role he had in Paris with Panathinaikos. His numbers won't drop that much, but when you have none on your team, he's going to be the alpha dog. So that's what I think.
Oh. Julia.
Okay.
No. He knows it as well. I asked DJ, we had an interview, and I asked him, that's a very different role that you will have this year in comparison to all the previous seasons, because in all the other occasions, you were the number one guy on the team.
But Vasiliki, I think he doesn't like the fact that everyone is doing the comparison between him and Kendrick Nunn. I know. But also in his head.
Yeah, yeah.
Now he's getting used to the minutes and the role in the system of Atama. So I think we have to see. We have to wait. And we have to see with the TJ Shorts. What were you saying?
No, I was just thinking that obviously it's a battle between Vazenkov and Nunn, but the season is so long. Last year, who could ever expect a TJ Shorts to play like that at the beginning of the season? So I think that no one could ever expect something like that. So maybe I think that in 1 month, 2 months, before Christmas time, someone would receive Christmas present being, you know, like a candidate. Maybe a candidate.
Yeah.
Then maybe the battle between will be between them too, but...
We will see. We will
I mean, I have... because. For me, of course, I respect Nigel Estes, and I think he deserved to be the Final Four's MVP, but still, there was another one over there who had to have that Final Four MVP trophy, Devin Hall.
Yeah,
I mean, if I were Nigel Estes, I would have had that moment and share the trophy with Devin Hall.
Yeah.
That moment. I mean, he deserved it.
Yeah.
That's how I think. But let's go to Serbia.
Oh.
My other superhero. Hifi.
Oh, yeah.
Is it?
He was there.
He was there.
Yeah. He was there not only to play a game.
I know. Can you describe that atmosphere? I mean, you've been many times.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's amazing. You already know. I mean, Serbian Derby is probably something totally different and something else. But being there and watching Partizan in that kind of environment, it's something that you need to experience if you're a basketball lover. And Hifi is.
He is. I mean, we've seen that. And he was enjoying it. And I think he did it on purpose that he covered his head, of course.
A little bit recognizable. Yeah.
Yeah, but he wanted to be such a random guy, which he is.
Right.
Obviously. And you know about Hifi and the story about him playing basket 3x3 and, you know, starting from one small town in Serbia, playing some tournaments there in Lapovo. It's kind of a like my hometown, like close to my hometown, and it's that kind of city, like small one. He started from there, and like 2 or 3 years later, he's standing in Belgrade Arena watching Partizan tomorrow play the game.
Cooked. Maccabi Tel Aviv.
Cooking.
Okay.
Yeah, it's always nice to have such a guy in the competition, and maybe he can be a candidate.
And Nadir, I think Hifi, I wanted to add that, is the perfect example of born, not built.
Yes.
You know, he is. Shout out to Nadir Hifi. We're waiting for you. That's my camera. Nadir Hifi. I wish I could speak in French. But anyway, subtitles. Come to our show one day, you know, sit next to us. But we're talking about, you know, these wonderful names and the arenas and all of that, but there is a big time upcoming. Oh, yes. NL4.
Yes, Final Four back in Athens after 18 years.
Elare.
It's been
Elare.
Years.
Elare.
What did you say?
Elare.
It's Greek.
Elare.
Like, come on.
Okay.
Come on.
Yeah.
But because I told you, Denise is practically Greek now. She spent more time than me in Greece this summer. I'm telling you, she was there more than me.
I
went to more Greek islands than I did.
Okay, but yeah, but this is why I love EuroLeague, because EuroLeague made me a fan of Greece with the Greek basketball culture, obviously. And now I, you know, go there, as Vasiliki mentioned, every summer, and I start singing in Greek.
Yeah.
Τι να κάνω, τον εαυτό μου.
We will make a concert with you and Denise in Noaka.
But I don't know how to say something in Greek.
You will sing Tyler. Taylor Swift.
Taylor Swift.
You will sing Taylor.
So Oaka is going to host Final Four. But I think Ataman gave us an interview, and Ataman said, I think there will be more than a million requests for the tickets.
Obviously.
And he said also, he added, why don't we make it in Oaka Stadium? Yes. It has 80,000 people capacity. So, you know, we can make it over there. But
there's enough time to organize that, right?
Maybe they really want to rethink their decision and put it in the football stadium. I don't know.
Well, we'll
but
see.
But still, the basketball arena will be packed and crazy because we haven't seen Final Four happen to our place for a very long time, and everybody's really excited. So if both Greek teams are there, there's obviously going to be more than 1,000 ticket requests. I'm sure Adaman's phone and Barjoka's phone is already buzzing. Hey, goats, can we get some tickets, please? But yeah, it's going to be amazing. It's all we have been talking about all summer long, because, you know, there was this discussion. Is it going to happen in Belgrade? Is it going to happen in Athens? And they were voting and all that, like meetings. And we were like, What is going on? Where is it going to happen?
Right.
So everything is really excited. But I think it will be an extra pressure for the Greek teams, even if they don't want to admit that.
Yeah.
It's going to be...
Well, imagine a scenario that Olympiakos is holding the cup in Oaka. That will be awesome. But let's go to the top 10s, since we're talking about
the first round.
You know, first round, the top 10s. Did you see that dunk?
Oh,
dance.
No, but which one you have? If you have to choose one of those two.
Baldwin.
I'll take Mike. I love Mike.
Okay.
I'm not objective. Okay. I love Mike. Since he has been on the league, he's such a talented player. And, you know, everybody's thinking that he's too old now. He can't be doing the same things. But
he can.
He can.
No. He can. Yeah, for sure. But
You ever interviewed him?
Yes.
That every time he does something amazingly for our eyes, and you ask the question, it's like, he always, I'm telling you, always, every time listen to his interview, every time he goes to the interview, he always are like, is it true?
Yeah.
Well, it's true.
Yeah.
He was like, everything is so, everything is so easy. Yes, I just did my job. No, you don't. Sorry, Mike. Yeah. I love you too.
Can you feel the beef between those two players, Baldwin and Mike?
No, there's no beef. I think they're really good friends.
Yeah.
They're really good friends. No. But maybe they chatted each other and Mike said, no, I deserve to be number one.
Yeah. No, but I also feel the beef between Denise and Julia. So,
there's a beef
friends.
Here. There's a beef.
But, you know, that means that we have a strong connection.
Yeah. Of course. Let's see what can happen if basketball meets imagination. So I will ask a question like...
Are you talking about AI?
Well, yeah, I'm curious. What is coming?
No, it's our imagination.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, about the, beefs around ex-players and current players.
Never stops. Never stops.
Yeah, your favorite ones, Scottie Pippen had one. back in the days, I think 1 month ago or something with Nikola Jokic something like that. Yeah, we're going to talk about that during the season.
Scotty, chill out.
Yeah. Never mind. But what I wanted to compare right now is Arvydas Sabonis and Tavares.
Oh, Sabonis. Other. I go for life.
Sabonis.
Sure.
Sabonis.
Hands down.
Yeah? Well, yeah.
He's cooking. You think
Hala Madrid, but...
Yeah, okay.
You think Sabonis would dominate nowadays?
For sure.
Yes.
I think he would have 18 points and 10 rebounds per game.
10. More than 10, probably.
At least 10. Let's say at least 10.
Yeah.
Okay.
And 6 blocks.
Obviously, we agree about this, so we cannot have discussion on this, but
let's have to the fans.
Like, put your comments below. But also, what I wanted to ask, is there any other player that you can have your right now in your mind? Like... That can dominate nowadays.
But well, that would still be cooking everybody in this league.
Can I give a name? It's not a former, it's the youngster.
You have to.
Alperen Şengün.
Yes.
Oh, right.
Yes.
He will like cook. He will put rice, salt, all of that, and then cook everything.
Okay. I'm sorry. I have
but
to say.
But it's not fair.
I didn't say anything.
No. I have. That's a perfect assist for me to say that. Maybe someday in the near future we will see Giannis Antetokounmpo play in Europe too.
Okay, but that's not fair. We were talking about the old stars.
Yeah.
Thank you, Alex.
If we go that way, then Luka Doncic is there, right?
Yeah, but come on, he did.
He
was 16.
He's gonna do that again, I think.
You say, Vasiliki, we won almost everything this summer, so let me just give credit to my Italians. So everyone could go and play in the EuroLeague, and you're gonna see a lot of the Italians in the next future of EuroLeague. But that's not the point.
Yeah, but about the old stuff.
I said Badiroga.
Let's talk ex-players. Badiroga.
If he was playing today, the way he used to play like 20 years ago, he would still be an MVP.
True. Mm-hmm. Julie. I agree.
I have to think about it.
I would go with Bodiroga as well. Yeah. Yeah, to be honest, I would.
Yeah, Bodiroga, and I will add Toni Kukoč.
Toni Kukoč.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, so having a dribble. Like, it's a prototype for a nowadays player on position four for me.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And 3-point shots, of course.
But since we're talking about the past, let's talk about the future of the game. So, have you girls seen the LeBron James, Steve Nash, the interview?
Yeah. Yeah.
So, I agree with LeBron. I mean, LeBron is watching EuroLeague. We know that.
Yeah.
And LeBron is telling to all the world that, let's make not 48, 40 minutes game, like EuroLeague, you know?
Let's take a look at the video first, because some people may not have seen it. And I will give you my take after that.
Oh, okay.
The 40-minute game is intriguing.
It is.
Because the game happens so damn fast.
Right.
So there's no...
Isn't that crazy how international games can be over?
Oh, my goodness. Yes. And you have no, like... There's no easing into an international game, you know?
Right.
And that gives it a little bit more, like, sense of urgency, you know? So that's something to discuss. That would be something that could, you know, we could possibly, you know, have a conversation about.
To me, it sounds like he wants to protect his records. If we keep playing 48 minutes, maybe someday a kid will have 20 years long career and can take some of his records. But if we go down to 40 minutes, there's no way that someone can be scoring as much as he did.
First of all, I don't agree with you, Vasiliki Karamuza. Okay. Second of all, he is a king.
Don't get me wrong. But, you know, sometimes players, when they're towards the end of their career, they start to be a little bit more protective of what they have done, of what they have built, their legacies. That's why Scottie Pippen said that Nikola Jokic wouldn't survive back in the day. You know, they start making these comparisons. So that's what...
He literally said that.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Okay. But anyway...
But let's speak about King.
Let's talk about King. Yeah.
I think those records that he made would still be there.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter if something's changed in rules or, you know, in games, but maybe it's about making basketball more watchable.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
I think so. Not only in playoffs, during the season also. And it's funny to me how we always trying to be always close to the NBA, you know, they're setting the trends and we are trying to copy or to compare or something
the other
like
way
that.
Around
but
right
it's,
now.
Yeah, but
the
it's
Europeans
the opposite.
Are running the league.
Yeah.
To be honest, I agree with you. I think it has to be 40 minutes because when you look at the NBA, I have a huge respect, by the way, don't get me wrong, but 48 minutes, and when you watch the game, when you wake up and watch the game, it's like advertisements, showbiz, dancing, the music. I love it. It's fine, but there should be a limit, you know, and the obviously the timeouts are too long. So, I mean, the EuroLeague has everything balanced, and that's why I think King is saying that we need 40 minutes.
Dynamic,
like the rhythm. The rhythm is so important, and we use during our interviews the word, the momentum. Yeah. So when you can't lose the momentum in 40 minutes, and even the overtimes, it's like more and more and more. It has the excitement that never, you know, goes down, and it goes up the whole time. That's the momentum. So I think I agree with him.
But do you think that Americans are ready to...
Of course.
You think they're ready to live out 48 minutes game?
Julia, amore mio.
Amore mio.
The life is like this. Contents has to be like this. The game is like this. It's like boom, boom, boom. But why Americans love our league, your league, is because of the defense, because of the style, because of the coaching style.
Well, what
the system.
But it's different from being 48 to 40 minutes. It only has to, you have to defend full stop. It doesn't matter if you play 48 or 40.
No, but 40 minutes, it changes everything. So you have the system. First of all, with the EuroLeague, you have the system. You listen to the coach. It's coach system. And you have leaders and you have stars and you have the, you know, roles everywhere on the court.
Yeah, support.
So, and it's like the offense takes the energy from the defense in this league. That's why 40 minutes is 100% enough.
Yeah.
So in my opinion, it doesn't matter that it's 40 minutes or 48. If you have to defend, you have to defend. You Americans, you love the way that we defend. Okay, go and do it. You know how to do it. You invented the game. So go and defend. It doesn't matter if you play for 40 or 48. You just have to go. You can do whatever you want in the offense area. And you actually, and I think that you actually do it probably in the best way because you shoot and you create magic into the court. But, you know, there's even the other side you have to defend. And I think it doesn't matter that.
Were you talking to LeBron James?
Not all the American people.
American people.
Lexi is the president. Lexi is the potters. Listen, people. You need to
listen.
I'm a showgirl, so I can do it.
But you know where I want to go?
Where?
To watch Slim Jesus.
Oh, yeah.
In Belgrade.
What?
You're so lucky.
We always ended up in Belgrade, did you?
Yeah.
every single topic, it comes to the point where we want to find us each other in Belgrade.
Yeah.
But you found a Slim Jesus.
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, you all know about the hype around him during the summer, and now we have him in Belgrade. He made his debut in ABA League, not yet in the EuroLeague.
Last week.
Yeah, but it's crazy. I mean, he obviously knows how to play basketball, but something else that you have if you want to play in Partizan, in that crowd, for Željko Obradović, it's charisma. And he has that, you know?
Yeah.
Do you think that Željko is going to give him a hard time?
So always.
Something like that.
Yeah. When you have Željko as a coach, it's always a hard time.
Last seconds. Research. Alexa. Pass the ball one time. Pass the ball. Over there is flat. Pass the ball.
So yeah, but it was funny to see him being with his teammates, new teammates, but not having a debut in EuroLeague. And right after the game, in the second round of the EuroLeague, they won, and he was there standing with the crowd and trying to catch the lyrics of some songs, which are new to him, obviously. And it was funny, and you know, see him being in that environment. Probably he watched some videos and heard about it already, but yeah, it was crazy. It was interesting to see him.
Okay, I need to tell you something.
Oh my gosh.
And to you, not to Vasiliki. Vasiliki just told me a story with
him. Yes.
Oh my God. It's gossip.
It's gossip. It's a EuroLeague gossip. It's a EuroLeague and friends kind of content.
So tell me.
It's a behind the scenes.
It's a behind the scenes.
Behind the scenes story.
What have you done?
Our family. Yeah. Tell to our family.
Me, nothing.
Okay.
I was just in the Eurobasket covering the competition, and you know, everybody has been talking about him because he was dunking all over the place.
Well,
there were
flying
viral videos of him, like that generated millions and millions of views on social media. And you know, even though he's 18 years old, and up until this point, he wasn't a professional basketball player, he used to play in high school, not even college. Dropped out.
Okay, slow down.
Yes. He had this kind of attitude like, I own this world. This is my show. I'm the showman and you will all follow me. And he comes to the mixed zone and he says, I have to go to the locker room because the coach needs us. I will come back to talk to you. And then he comes back and he goes again to the mixed zone. And he said, I say, Slim Jesus, Mika, you told us you will talk to us. And I said, maybe some other time. I was like, what?
Mika, wait. After this, you have to give an interview to Vasiliki Karamuza.
Yes.
Please.
Oh, to the EuroLeague friends.
To the EuroLeague.
We can share him.
Well, I think that something like that cannot happen in Belgrade.
Well, not sure about it, but with that attitude, I'm not sure how much Željko Obradović would love.
That's what I was.
Wow, true.
I was going
100%.
So in 1 month, we're gonna discover if he survived or not.
Yeah, that's always an option.
You know, it's
no.
Very
you're
bold.
So right.
Yeah,
you're right.
Yeah.
But what he did is a very bold move because he understood now have all the hype, and I want to be a media face. Because everybody will be talking about me if I become a pro. Nobody will talk about me in the media area around the world if I still play in high school. And he came here and he will try to dominate. And it's, I don't know.
Yes, but
I don't think he can be like Luka Doncic because he was.
You would never know.
He was the MVP when he was 18 years old.
Okay, but that's not going to happen. But the thing is, I forget too. Game is changing.
Yeah.
Now it's changing. It's not the same as when it was when Luka was playing. So you would never
it's
know.
It's not as long ago.
But
about
Mika,
yeah.
I'm
Yes, but yeah, okay, Mika,
okay, I'm all,
anyway, if you want to be a part of the hype that Partizan brings to your career, yeah, you have to show up on the court too.
Yeah, so for sure.
That's yeah. It, yeah.
Yeah. And now the trending topics, the trash talks, the memes and everything. Let's talk also some stuff like, I don't want to call it like trash talk, but Ergin Ataman just said, like 2-3 weeks ago, I think in our media day in Panathinaikos.
No, it was in the Eurobasket before the final. It was the press conference before the final. I was there.
Really? Okay. Yes. Okay. I was not there. That's why maybe.
Yeah. I remember pretty well.
Anyways, he said, I'm the best coach that Europe has witnessed in the last decade. Do you agree? First of all, let's not laugh.
No,
I agree.
Some would say it's a very bold statement for someone to make and praise his own self. And he said, I might sound egoistic when I say this, but I'm the best coach in the last 10 years. But on the other hand, if you see the results,
he's not wrong.
It is.
He's not wrong. About the last 10 years, Ergin Ataman is the best.
He is the best coach.
I mean, yes, we need to mention Željko again, obviously, but...
he's the GOAT.
And yeah, it all comes back to Belgrade.
To Belgrade. Again, to Belgrade. You know, I called Serbia as the capital of basketball in Europe, and I think it's not wrong.
Yeah, really?
It is. Yugoslavia. Yeah. Right next to Yugoslavia.
Yeah, yeah, Balkan. Oh, Balkan. Thanks to that.
Yeah. Bravo.
But if we speak about Ataman and Željko trying maybe to have a beef between those two coaches, I think that's not going to happen. No. There's a huge respect between those two guys.
Right.
Everybody respects Bradovic.
Yeah.
Of
and
course.
On the other hand, like in general, like all in all, Željko Bradovic is probably the best coach in the competition.
Yeah.
It is.
So far. And, We still have that relation with his players, not only now, but also back in a history that they always emphasize in every interview. Even when they're done with playing basketball, yes, they always come back to Željko Obradović. And if we speak about some ex-players right now, that would be Mike Batiste for me, you know?
Yeah.
So remember how Mike Batiste looked like before cooperating with Željko and right after.
Yeah.
And I think nowadays that is happening with maybe Isak Bonga or...
I have another one.
That happened with Bogdan Bogdanović, right?
Your hand like...
Yes, I am.
Yeah.
I have a name.
Can I say a name?
I have a name. Zachary Day.
Zachary Day
coming back after a year in Partizan.
Matias Nesor, which we have here on a photo.
Yes, it's like... Where is
it?
Oh, it's there. Yeah, it's there. Yes. In Partizan jersey, yeah.
Oh, I'm seeing FS jersey.
Yeah, but there's a lot of different names, big names of this league that we can mention if we speak about Željko Obradović. So that's that.
Kevin Punter also.
His coaching tree. He do this.
Yeah.
But also, Saras. We can say the same things, of course. Ibrahim Kutlay back in the day.
Yeah.
But also, we should mention Ataman's players, because nowadays we're talking about the back-to-back champions, championship with Anadolu Efes, the MVPs of this league, Shane Larkin, Vasilije Misic. I mean, thanks to Ataman that these guys are shining on the court.
None. Panathinaikos coming from the 17th position to win the building the whole roster over again.
Right. Right. I mean, those two names are the biggest names right now in the league. And I'm wishing the same for Šaras, because he was the biggest player, one of the biggest players in EuroLeague. So I think he will be one of the biggest coaches in the league.
I'm glad that we are speaking about totally two different style of coaching.
Yeah.
Right.
Exactly.
Right.
Also
Yeah. But girls, that's a wrap.
Already?
Chit-chat for another couple hours.
Do we time for a lunch together in Barcelona Street?
We will do something.
I would like to. Maybe not a lunch, but drink it, the Valencian paella. I would like to have the Barcelona one. Or if you have to suggest so many other dishes, I can try them all, maybe.
We will get to those too,
for sure. Okay, okay. But thank you, girls. I mean, it's been a pleasure and it's so nice. I don't want to leave you. I don't want to go back to Istanbul. Shall we move all to Barcelona?
Yes.
I'm in too.
Maybe we can change each episode. We can change the city.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, okay. Yes.
What do you want to go? You want to come to Milan?
Around Europe.
Shall we do? Shall
it's EuroLeague.
Yes.
I'm not sure if EuroLeague is amazed by this idea, but
it's not my idea, Julian. It's Julia's idea.
Anyway.
I cannot say that.
Why you can't say what?
I wanted to say
unfiltered. No.
I know it's unfiltered, but it's not for you all. It's for them. I have a spare room in my house so we can record things in. Okay. But not for you.
Okay.
I have to remember that is an unfiltered this thing. And I have to remember for the future of this podcast and for the future of my life and my career.
And I want to thank to all of our fans, the EuroLeague fans. I'm not calling them anymore fans. They're fam, like their family. Yeah. EuroLeague and Friends family, please don't forget to subscribe, like, comment, follow, and I love you all.
Season 2 just...
Really, season 2 is here. So stay tuned.